This is the Different Football Show. VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Yes, people, we are back. I am Cecil G and you're listening to VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio. You know what this is. The football show that takes everything we love about the sport and flips it completely on its head. Now we're talking Fantasy 11s, my favourite section, where we build teams that nobody really asks for. There's rants of the week where, you know, you want to get things off your chest, unfiltered truth, the opinions from the fans, things that really wind you up, some tinfoil hat conspiracies, all of that. All the madness, some tantrums, we're going to get it all in this show. Yeah, of course, this is what it's all about, VAR, You Serious. It's heart, it's humour, and just the right amount of chaos. It's not like your normal football show. And today, as always, we have a special guest in the building. We've got Anita Abayomi in the building, people. Come on, my people. Yeah. Yes, yes. Make some noise. Make some noise.
Thank you.
Big, big Chelsea fan.
Yes.
Big Chelsea fan. Also, do you know what? We're going to go straight to it. Before we get into Chelsea talk and football talk and we get into the show, Anita this week uploaded a reel on her social media. So if just, I'm going to give a shameless plug. Go check it out. She talks about dating as, you know, a female football fan. And when I mean female football fan, my girl knows her stuff. Mm-hmm. So you can't pull up and give all the whole, oh, are you really a football fan? What do you really know about football? Because Anita's been doing this. She's been in the industry for a long time. And she put a reel about, you know, a man basically questioned her knowledge, asking her, what's the offside rule? And she clapped back.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
I told him to, let's use your hairline, babes. Take off that hat, let's use your hairline, and I'm going to show you what the offside rule really means.
I'll be honest, I'll be real. If that happened to me, I would be hot. I'll be like, ouch.
He took it on the chin, though.
Oh, serious?
I swear down, he took it on the chin. Like, he looked at me, and he was like, you got jokes? And I was like, yeah, I got some jokes. He's like, all right, I'm sorry, innit? I'm sorry. Sorry for questioning you. He never called me back, though. Oh. I don't know where he is. I hope if you're watching, if you're listening, I hope you're well.
But yeah, well,
I hope you got a trim.
She can't just smoke. Saying. This thing, you can't play with Anita. Like, we do some football banner. I've worked with Anita before. But like I said, she
don't
knows
play
her
with
stuff.
Me.
You can't play. Yeah, she's a Chelsea fan. World Cup champ, cup, whatever it is.
Cup Club champions. World Cup champions. World champions. All right? Get it right. Thank you.
The Donald Trump trophy or?
Okay, move on.
All right, we're going to. All right, let's. She's on fire today. I can feel it. Let's talk then quickly. Obviously, I spoke about, you know, you've been in the industry, you've been, you know, around sports and especially football for a long time.
Yeah.
What was your entry? Because your entry point into it? Because I actually, obviously, we met just doing a show together, but what was your entry point into this space? Because it is, you can be a Chelsea fan, I get that, but what was the entry point into doing content and talking about the club you love and working, I suppose, with the club? Because I've seen you're active. Let me make it clear to everyone's listening. Anita does, she does very well. You see her, you'll see her.
I do all right. You know, I don't do too bad. No, but genuinely, everyone always asks me, like, how did I get into it? Mm. I just like talking about football. So when I graduated from uni, I got a graduate job and I was very bored. Mm-hmm. On my lunch breaks, I used to write blogs. So I used to write like funny blogs. I used to write blogs about like how to talk to your MCM when he's watching football. What does this mean about him?
If
he's
MCM, an Arsenal.
Man Crush Mondays back then.
Wait,
back then. Throwing it MCM's back. Throwing it back.
Make sure you people stay tuned because we're going to do some throwback talk in this episode as well on the show today. But yeah, go on, carry on. Sorry.
Yeah, we were doing a lot of, I was doing a lot of blogging and it was just like fun blogging. So like things that you wouldn't want to see in a newspaper at the time because it's like no one reads newspapers now. So go online, you blog. Mm-hmm. And then I started a podcast called Gold Diggers UK, but it was just women talking about football, right?
Big them up every time, by the
every
way. I've been at some award shows and they've been nominated.
Hey,
and I didn't realize it was part
award
of Gold
nominated,
Diggers.
Award nominated, you know. A part of the Gold. I created Gold Diggers with my best friend. Yeah, created it. A lot of people don't know that.
You created it?
I created it with my best friend.
Oh, wow. I really need to put some serious respect on your
See,
name.
See, guys,
wow.
Cecil doesn't know me.
So, well, this is what this is about. We're getting the real truth from the football fans. This is it. We're learning as we go. Go on, carry
but
on.
Yeah, after that, I'm a lady at Sky Sports. Mm-hmm. She put me on Sky Sports to talk transfer talks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, this is a big deal. This is live television. Mm-hmm. They loved me. They kept bringing me back onto the early morning kickoffs, newspaper talks. They brought me into the studio. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, it's just been an ongoing thing of working with Sky Sports, working with ITV, BBC, and then branded side comes along. Start working with Chelsea, I start working with Nike, Adidas, different brands. And I remember I got my first ever like interview with an athlete with Dina Asher-Smith, right?
Ooh.
Mate, it was through COVID times.
Yep.
And I was scared. I was absolutely frightened. And then more came through and it just became second nature to me. And now I'm here, you know?
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's it. And now she's had a, you know, a very good career. And now she's here. She's obviously still, we all got, always got to do more. And we're going to do more in our careers. This is, we're still early on. Again, I see how much you do. I think, you're, like I said, you're very successful. Has there been times where you felt like, you know, being a woman in this space, have you felt, I don't know, maybe even sometimes it may not be this, like looked down on, or might be finding it a bit of a difficult route. Obviously, yeah. Being a black woman as well can add to that. Or is it being actually, do you know what? They've actually, because I sometimes feel this, sometimes I do feel like there has struggle. You get some situations where, you know, there might be racism and whatnot. But then sometimes I feel like, do you know what? Actually, people have celebrated that I'm it's a voice, a black person's voice, and we're going in, and the people are pushing you to move forward in this space. Any, which side have you leaned to? Have you felt both of you?
How long do we have? No, I felt both. Like, I came up during the COVID era when it was like Black Lives Matter and let's get more initiatives for black people to get into the sporting world, etc. Mm-hmm. And that was great. And then once that died down, it was kind of like, this is what everyone was talking about. There will be times where I'll be in a room and it will be a room full of like just old blokes.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, how is your mindset like this? Like, bro, get with the times. Yeah. Like, move on, move forward, get with the times. There's been times where I've been on shoots where they're like, we don't think you're acting Nigerian enough. And I'm just there like, what does that look like? So I was like, what, bruh?
Start questioning yourself, like,
bro. Am I me? Like, what? Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I've seen both sides of it. Still get celebrated to this day, which is great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's some ignorant stuff happening in this industry that needs to be addressed. But I feel like that's why we've got people like myself and yourself in the industry to address those issues.
Agreed.
And make sure that, you know, the people coming up don't have to go through those issues. And that's why we do what we do.
Amen. We'll walk the path and then the rest, you know, the follow the hope who I have to go through some of the stuff that, you know, we've experienced. But like I said, but it's, sometimes it's both sides. Sometimes you get celebrated. Sometimes there's some dark times and you have to work through certain rooms and certain doors and put yourself forward. But that's good. We're going to go into some football chats. This is a bit of a football show. VAR, you serious here on Fubar? We've got to do a little bit. And obviously I've got a diehard Chelsea fan in the room with me, Anita.
Let's go.
Liam Rossinho. Is he the right man? Now, I was at the League Cup semi-final first leg and they were singing. It's funny, people got confused. They were singing "You're Getting Sacked" in the morning. They were thinking, was that for Thomas Frank? But no, it was actually for Liam Rossinho. Obviously, it's too early. Give the man a chance. He speaks very well. Is he, for you, the man? And it is early, but what have you made of him so far? And do you think there is something there that it can work, or is it blue collar just fine? You know, they found a cheap alternative, and you know they're just hopefully shooting in the dark, really, and hoping it lands or scores.
It's a difficult one, okay? It's hard for me because I like Rossinho as a manager and as a person, right? I think he's proper chill, proper cool, and I see him as the man. Like, do you know what I mean? He's cool. However, when I think about managers of Chelsea. And yeah, I'm going through the history books. I'm thinking Jose Mourinho, Carlo Ancelotti. I'm thinking Thomas Tuchel. I'm thinking big managers that have shaped football and how football is played today. Thinking of Liam Rossinho, it's a bit far-fetched, you know? When he was tied to the club, I was thinking there's absolutely no way this is going to happen. Like Pochettino and Graham Potter, for me, they were bad enough. Right, but I allowed it because it's just like, okay, they've managed in the Premier League, they've managed Premier League teams, so what more can I say, what more can I do type vibe, right? I'm going to give him a chance. You have to give every single manager that comes in a chance. You have to give him a chance. I was there at the game against Charlton.
Yep.
Because Charlton's not too far from me, so I thought, let me just go.
South London, big up.
South London, big up yourself. Not too far from me. I went to the game, and I just thought, okay, this is still a little bit Maresca-esque, you know? It's going to take some time for us to develop ourselves into what Liam wants us to play like, right? Yeah. Then the Arsenal game came along, and I was very frustrated. It was frustrating because it just seemed like there's one too many passes happening and I didn't like it. Robert Sanchez reverted back to the Sanchez we knew of old and that was scary. It was frightening.
Chelsea fans confused me because I always thought he was not the man and I thought like he's never been the great keeper for Chelsea. But then I feel like there must have been a run of form that he must have went on, because it completely changed. And then when he conceded that goal, went under his arm, they were going back to like, oh, see, I knew he... I was like, but did we not know this all along? Or is it, or was there a bit of hope and faith?
There was
in
so
it?
Much hope, because I don't know what kind of coaching Maresca put in place for Sanchez, but Sanchez, he got better.
Okay.
He did get better. Okay, and you look throughout the season, he's progressively just found his confidence. His ball playing has been insane this season as well. Like, I can't take that away from him. But against Arsenal, it's like he lost all that training, came out and became the guy that we saw last season. And it was so sad, because at one point, I was watching the Nigeria game simultaneously, right? Right. Double whammy for me. Right. At one point, I was just looking at my laptop thinking, I don't want to watch this no more. Chelsea was on the laptop and I'm just, I just don't want to watch this no more.
Talk to me about then Clear Lake. And I suppose Bluco is like the City Group. So it's the full, the whole brand of it. For people that don't know, obviously, it's like, yeah, like I said, it's like the City Group. So it's an amalgamation, I guess, of the owners. They kind of just franchise it as Bluco, but clearly, do you think they're going, the club's going in the right direction through them, or because there's always been, it's been frustrations at times. Obviously, you know, Todd Boehly came in and spending a lot of money and whatnot. The whole franchise of it all, is the club going in the right direction? Do you see it working out? Because I think Kroenke's have got the KSC there, Kroenke's Sports Entertainment, and everyone's kind of doing all of this. I think the Glazers are hiding behind, I don't even know what they're
like, they're hiding.
They've got, obviously, it's just slipped my mind. Obviously they've got Jim Ratcliffe in front of them, and as well, what's the hand sanitizer company? Why am I going crazy?
Ineos.
So yeah, all of that. Ineos. So everyone's got their own little like umbrella, you know, like companies that are running clubs. Are Chelsea going in the right direction with their initiative?
I mean, if they're trying to blend in with everybody else, yeah, I guess, you know. But in terms of footballing, and it's so difficult to put your finger on what's wrong with it. Because you see them building a system where it's a load of youth and all of these youthful talents. You see Estevao, everyone's excited about Estevao. And you see all the youth that's in Strasbourg right now. There's loads of stories coming out about them, by the way. Look into that, because it's very weird. A couple of our players that we bought and sent to Strasbourg, they are now being allegedly released because of behavioural issues. It's a weird vibe. And they're being released by Chelsea. So everything's really weird right now.
Okay.
And how the club is being run... We were promised a club where we're not going to be rotating managers. We've been rotating managers. We were promised a club where we're not going to be shipping out youth. We've been buying youth and then shipping them out. You know what I mean?
Just as a fan,
it's
though,
weird.
As a fan, does that... I don't know, does that... To me, that feels... That's Chelsea... That feels like Chelsea's
Chelsea
model, I'll be honest.
Chelsea.
Yeah, that's
it's proper Chelsea. I can't lie to you. So it's proper Chelsea.
To change away from that, I don't know if... Maybe, does that
Thank
work?
You.
Like, stick to...
And this is why
you know.
I said it's confusing. Right. Because... Even though we want X, Y, and Z, we've been so used to what Bluco are doing anyway. So everyone's really angry. And I understand the frustrations from all the fans, but not much has changed in a grand scheme of things. The only thing that I would say has been the biggest issue for fans is the involvement of the owners. Right. The involvement is a bit too much. You see them going into the dressing room after games, and you hear rumours that they're involved with the team selection and squad selections.
Yeah, that's not
and
okay.
It's not okay. That part is where I kind of draw the line and say, if this is really happening, what is kind of happening to my club?
Yeah,
you know?
That's kind of how Maresca kind of was, you know, kind of being moved on, isn't it? Because of that sort of power. Same with, I suppose, Ruben Amorim at Man United as well.
And just apparently, said, like, Luis Enrique, that's why he didn't take the job. Allegedly,
they want the managers want their power. They want to be able to manage their team without having the influence of the owners. And
yeah,
and granted, listen, we're not the prime example, but obviously I'm an Arsenal fan, so I have to look at that and
flip that back on you.
But obviously, no, Josh Kroenke's had more involvement in Arsenal, but not in the sense of he's not doing team. He lets Arteta manage the team. That's his job and coach the team. But like more involvement in being around the training ground and being more supportive and players that he want to sign and the information that he needs, he passes.
But you guys needed that, though.
Yeah, we did.
Because before he was so distant.
He was.
So it's like, it's a catch-22 again. It's confusing how I feel about Bluco, because if they are that involved and they're involved in bringing in the players that the manager needs and strategy, and the strategy's going right and everything feels welcoming, then I'm for it.
How much involvement is the right involvement from your ownership? That's a question for the listeners there. That's quite a good one. Very definitely food for thought. You obviously talk about being Nigerian. Last week we saw your we saw your nation go out in AFCON. What, What is it? What is wrong with Nigeria?
I think I'm gonna make my exit.
No. we can have a civilized conversation in the sense of, like, you know, the key players didn't step up and take penalties and stuff like that. That's an issue, like the Iwobis, yeah, the Oshermans and all that. Like,
yeah,
what is it? What went wrong there? Like, is there? It didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me. And
yeah,
they should be making fines. They should be winning.
They should.
AFCON, but what is it? Is it a lot? What is your relationship with your national team? Because
I love my national team. I love them. I love them to pieces.
If it, more than your club team, because you're
more than my club team. All right, let's slow down. Okay, if I had to choose, one wins the Champions League, one wins AFCON. Chelsea will win that Champions League. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, okay, or the Premier League. Like, do you know fair what I mean? Chelsea, yeah, will fair win it. But I still love my nation. But that's just because Nigeria, we've won the AFCON several times before. So it's like, okay. But when it comes to the Nigerian team right now, I think they are all within their prime. And them getting knocked out in the semi-finals is heart-wrenching. When it was time to step up for the penalties, we fell short. And you know, there's Chukwueze that plays for Fulham, right? Yep. And you see him, he's a banter dude, isn't
he? Yeah, he's a banter guy.
Come back to London! Come back to London!
He was battering on the coach of
Vimo Wobi. I'm ready to like, banter
yeah,
him.
You could have passed to me, but yeah.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
And now you take a penalty like that? Oh my goodness. Oh.
Nia said, come back to London.
Come back to London. Come back.
I'll see you.
I'll see you
at Craven Cottage.
Hey, Fulham versus Chelsea, I'll be there. I will be there.
Right, listen, we got a, like I said, an enthralling show for you coming up. And coming up after the break, we'll be following the social media trend, looking back 10 years to see what was going on in the footballing world in 2016 with Anita after this.
VAR, you serious on FUBAR Radio?
Okay, 2016, 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Firstly, 10 years ago. Do you remember? Were you in uni? Were you studying?
I was studying. Yeah, okay. 2016, football times.
What was I doing? 2016.
It was dark.
I was trying to think. 2016, hold on. So what am I? Okay, so I was... Oh, I don't want to give away my age. All right. So
me too. Was that your first year? Was that your last year?
I was studying, though. I was also studying as well 10 years ago in 2016. I was... Yeah. I mean, life was... Interesting. I wasn't in this space. I was at performing arts. I was in ballet studios and pirouetting and.
No way.
Yeah. I went to a telly concert. Yeah.
I beg you, let me see some videos.
No way. You think football?
Yeah. Let's take it back to 2016. Let's get dark in this room.
I was doing performing arts. I was in studios and training. So that was 2016. trying to learn a trade of. Something different to what we, well, I mean, I'm still in the arts and in the media space, but it's completely different. I was preparing for shows. I was a different human. That was after football days, after being a professional footballer, going into performing 2016. Yeah, I was finding my way. I was doing a few jobs as well, a few adverts, but 2016, that was my time around then. And you was obviously studying as well.
I was studying.
Studying.
Dark days.
Where did you study?
I studied at University of Kent.
Okay.
And I went Christ the King. Oh, wow. This is too much information about me. You can find it on my LinkedIn, to be fair.
Yeah, fair.
I went Christ the King for college. And let me just tell you, 2016, yeah.
Mm.
I love Jose Mourinho. I love him so much. But he could have killed me.
Seriously? That time? Yeah.
What? Chelsea came 10th in the Premier League.
Oh, my God. It's clicking. Yes, of course.
We came 10th in the Premier League with a star-studded team, mind you. Hazard, Costa, Fabregas. We had such a great team. We came 10th. Jose Mourinho started off the 2015 season.
Mm-hmm.
It went downhill, brother. Yeah, brother. I mean, 10th.
It was dark days. If
brother.
I know even, listen, we'll get into who finished top of the Premier League. Arsenal didn't, but that was probably our closest time in that Wenger era, actually, that... Yeah, we was obviously reaching top four quite a bit, but then it kind of fell off, and then we hit second, but we weren't really in the race for that title. Even though the team that won it, we done very well against. But let's get into that. Leicester City won the league in 2016. Yeah? Yeah, Gary Lineker famously, he was forced to present Match of the Day in his underwear. He said, obviously, I actually remember watching that
great
Match of the Day. One when it sounds bad in his boxes, but before that, I remember making a bet saying, if we win the league, I will host a show in my boxes. Mental, and at the time it was like It was on the cards, but it wasn't. It definitely wasn't guaranteed. There was still a title race happening around that time. So him to say that, incredible. He ended up having to do it. Was that the greatest moment in the Premier League history or not for you?
The greatest moment in the Premier League history will always be that Aguero moment. So it's always about, was that the second greatest?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. You're the producers of Man City, man. I saw him jump up a little bit. Yeah. Memories. He got that memory. You know what's
annoying? It's annoying. He wrote this question saying that, was it the greatest? And I was thinking, he knows. But yeah, no. I'm glad though, because I agree with you. I think the Aguero moment, I mean,
I remember where I was. I remember who I was with. I remember where I was watching. I remember the split screen that I was watching. Yeah. Like it was crazy. That's the greatest Premier League moment ever. Mm-hmm. But I think that could be a close second, genuinely.
Yeah.
Is it
the greatest achievement then in the Premier League? Because there's different. Obviously, the thing is, this is tough for me because I'm an Arsenal fan. We went invincible, yeah, in the Premier League. Let's not forget that. I have to bring it up.
You bring it up all the time.
Yeah, gold trophy and that. But that achievement, Leicester, no one expected it.
Yeah.
Like, I think, yeah, well, 5,000-1. And I think before that, the season before, they were, wait, no, did they not get, they got,
they got promoted the season before.
Yeah. And then they won it the next season. So obviously it was unheard of that it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Do you think that's, yeah, one of the top achievements then in the Premier League? It's going to be in there. It's got to be top three.
It's definitely top three. You've got the Invincibles in there. You've got the Centurions. You've got Leicester winning the Premier League. I think that's definitely top three. And do you know what? What it did for the Leicester community, crazy. I feel like if you went university around that time in Leicester,
your grades, forget them.
Forget the grades. What? got exams tomorrow? Forget that. Yeah. Go out and have a bender, mate. Like, genuinely, the streets erupted. Like, all my friends that were in Leicester at the time, they were videoing it on Snapchat. Like, oh my God, look what's happening.
Crazy.
The streets went crazy. So that's definitely like top three for me.
It's amazing. They birthed so many incredible players from that team as well that kind of went on and just went to bigger clubs and did amazing things. Some obviously stayed at Leicester and built a name for themselves. I'm intrigued to know, will it ever happen or will we ever see anything like that again? Like, obviously with FFP and all the, and you know what? They would say that teams that come up from the Championship, there's always a big disparity. But I actually think nowadays, this season's been that's kind of got rid of that. They've kind of got rid of that myth because Sunderland have been phenomenal this season. Leeds, they've been good. I don't think they'll get relegated. I mean, Burnley.
Yeah,
it's not looking too good.
Not looking good.
Not looking too good. But Leeds and Sunderland. So like, I think the disparity is not as big as it has been in the past. But do you ever think you will see like an underdog do that? So we spoke off it. Villa might be.
It might be Villa.
Yeah.
I don't think, maybe not this season, maybe not next year, I don't know. But if there was an underdog right now that could do it, it would be Villa. And if it's not Man City to win the league this season, please, Lord, let it be Villa. Please, 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 please. I wouldn't mind a Unai Emery Premier League champion. I know.
On Arsenal's head top. No,
if that happens,
way.
Bring me back here.
No. I am hibernating forever.
Hey, Unai Emery carrying that Premier League before Arsenal. Hey, yo. Bring me back here with a can of beer. Bring me back.
With a can of beer. Love it. Love it. Love it. I it's interesting because I always think like, what other teams could surprise? Like, I look at Iriola at Bournemouth. I'm a big fan of him. But there is... It's not even about the gap, but it just feels like the Premier League, it's so tough, isn't it? Because I always battle with myself. Is it a strong league? But having City and Pep Guardiola in it makes it very difficult for any other team to win the league. And obviously, I know Liverpool won it last season. Cool, well and good. Slot came in and done that. But like, the players there, they're incredible. But City with Pep there, and Arsenal doing what they're doing in the past couple of seasons, obviously second. The level to be an underdog and win the title, I think would be such a huge thing again. I know at the time, I don't think the Premier League was great at that time when Leicester won it, if I'm being really honest. You mentioned some good players in Chelsea, though.
Yeah, but we came 10th. That was so dark.
That is mad. Yeah, I'm looking at now. 10th. Liverpool came 8th.
Oh, my God.
West Ham came 7th.
It was a very dark day.
Southampton came 6th.
Didn't West Ham have Payet at the time?
Payet. That must have been that free kick season.
Dimitri Payet.
Was that free kick season? I think it might have been that bang. It might have been.
Banging. He was slapping. Like, he was absolutely slapping.
But yeah, them being in 7th, Man United being in 5th.
Yep. Tottenham were 3rd, I think.
They were 3rd, correct, yep. And then Southampton in 6th. Like,
We took Tottenham out of the title race. Battle of the Bridge 2016. I'll never forget it. Eden Hazard, curl our top bins. Wow. But yeah, yeah. No. Sorry. Memories.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say.
Just memories. I miss Eden Hazard.
Anita went into a different space.
May
and she
I
just
did.
Went, oh,
I
Hazard.
Did.
And to be fair, a very, very, very good player.
Icon.
Very good player. An icon of the Premier League. I can admit that. I can
Better
admit
than
that.
Any winger Arsenal's ever had.
All right. Yep. Hey.
Any. Fight me.
Yeah, you see me, I'm scouring through all my wingers. My brain's got my brain's
pick
blind.
One,
yeah.
Pick one, I will go back and forth right now.
That Hazard, I can't. I honestly, yeah, I'll give it to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On my own show. Anyway,
this is what I'm here for.
Anyway, we're gonna go into comparing 2016 to 2026 in a little bit more depth. We're gonna go into comparing the best players of 2016,
cool.
The best players of 2026. So. We're going to have to run through the PFA Team of the Year in 2016 and compare them with Alan Shearer's current team of this year. I want you to tell me who's better player in each position.
Okay.
We'll go player for player.
Cool.
Here we go. So let's start. In goal in 2016, the Team of the Year. PFA Team of the Year. Fair play. David De Gea, Manchester United. That's good levels.
Shot stopper.
No, that's good
back
levels.
Then.
No, that's good. Yeah. He
back
tailed
then.
Off towards the end of his career.
We don't talk
about
that.
In 2026, sorry, Alan Shearer's gone with Robin Roos. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm really bad at pronunciations, but he's the goalkeeper at Sunderland.
Okay.
I think David De Gea, I mean,
That's an interesting choice.
That is an interesting choice.
A very interesting choice. I'm going to go with David De Gea just because I remember he was the biggest shot stopper in the Premier League and barely anything could get past him at one point. He was absolutely insane. And the drop-off, no one could quite understand where that drop-off came from.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to always go with David De Gea. There's not many goalkeepers that I would put ahead of David De Gea in his prime.
Yeah.
From the Premier League.
Now this one, the next, we're going to go right back. This one's interesting.
Go on.
Arsenal's Hector Bellerin.
Ooh.
Versus Arsenal's Jurrien Timber.
Oh, that's a question for you.
I know it is.
Cecil, that's a question for you.
I know it is. Obviously.
Oh, let me sit back for this one.
Well, Hector Bellerin for me, obviously, around that time as well, we relied on his speed. He's dubbed to be, you know, a very quick right back. Obviously, he had his knee injury and off the back of that, and never really returned back to the same Hector Bellerin. Jurrien Timber for me is, I think will be the best Arsenal right back of all time. I genuinely believe all we need is, once we get the trophies through the door, Jurrien Timber is going to be that. So I'm sorry, Hector, Mr. Sustainability, Mr. If we win, I'll plant 3,000 trees. I'm sorry, Mr. Bellerin.
He was so lovely.
Nice guy. Did YouTube as well. And you know, he's very
good looking.
Yeah. Good personality.
Had to drop that in there.
You thought he was good with the long hair and all that?
Oh, Hector was
really
absolutely gorgeous.
Interesting.
He is a gorgeous, gorgeous football player.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But we're going to... So what, you're in Timber, though? What?
Yeah. Hey, listen. I don't mind. It's a toss-up for me. Yeah, it's not Reece James. I don't know why you put Jurrien Timber there over Reece James. But hey, if you want to go with Timber,
that.
Go with Timber.
It's Timber.
Hey.
Alan Shearer, that's what he's gone with.
Hey.
Centre-backs. We'll do centre-back pairing.
Go on.
Toby Alderweireld.
Okay.
It's tough to say his name. Tottenham Hotspur and Wes Morgan at Leicester City. Obviously, they ended up winning the league that season, so that's why he'll probably be in there. Versus Mark Yehi at Crystal Palace and Gabriel Magalhães at Arsenal. So Wes Morgan and Toby Alderweireld. Obviously, they came third to Tottenham. And
yeah,
to be fair, he was good for Tottenham.
That season, Alderweireld was really good. He was really good. He was actually unplayable.
Mark Gay, he's been
excellent, absolutely excellent, and he's the definition of just someone that you need in your back line.
Yeah.
He's a staple type of defender that I want at Chelsea, even though he was once ours and then we let him go.
Yes.
And now we want to buy him back. But everyone else wants to buy him now, so it's
correct.
And Gabriel, in my opinion, one of the most underrated, like I know he's rated highly already, he's one of the most underrated centre-backs in this league. And I say that because a lot of Arsenal fans put Saliba ahead of him, and he's often in Saliba's shadow.
Yeah.
But I think he's, if not
no,
he just
is.
As important, more important.
Yeah, he is.
Do you know what I mean?
He is.
Just like putting my Arsenal bias aside, just because of that, I will go for Gabriel. And yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I like that.
I'm not an honest girl.
No,
I'm
I know you are. Wes Morgan obviously was the captain of Leicester City that season.
And he was strong.
He was very strong. Ended up winning, obviously, they won the league that season. So he obviously led his team to that. But listen, this could be the season that Arsenal, you know, going to win it. So Gabriel makes sense. Mark Gay can get to the big club. So it makes sense. Left back, Tottenham Hotspur's Danny Rose in 2016.
Mm.
Or Chelsea's...
Cucurella. Let's move on.
But Danny
let's
Rose.
Move on.
You know,
let's move on.
Danny,
I respect Danny
Rose. Fast, you know, quick, and can do. He's the overlapping fullback up and down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I respect Danny Rose. I had a nice sit down with Danny Rose one time. Nice one-to-one interview with him. He's great, lovely guy, amazing guy. I will still pick a career. Next.
Well, actually, I mean, she's a Chelsea fan. I can't argue.
It's not even just about being a Chelsea fan. Cucurella, as a left back this season. Has he not been phenomenal? Apart from the red card the other day, but he hasn't put a foot wrong.
I'll be honest.
Thank you.
I'll put my bias aside.
Thank you.
Internationally and for his club.
Thank you.
Really good.
Smash.
Right, let's run through the midfield. We'll do the midfield for the free. Here we go. Riyad Mahrez, 2016, Leicester City. N'Golo Kante, Leicester City. Dele Alli, Tottenham Hotspur. 2016 midfield. Aye, this
2016
midfield is
Ali?
Dirty. And Dimitri Payet at West Ham. They've gone, obviously, it's gone 4-4-2. They've gone 4-4-2 for 2016 and we'll work out the 2026 one. But so there's four midfielders there. We'll go bar for bar. So Riyad Mahrez, remind you, N'Golo Kante, Dele Alli, and Dimitri Payet. Okay, that is a strong midfield, by the way. So 2026 midfield. Granit Xhaka, Sunderland. Having an incredible season so far. Oh, Declan Rice's Arsenal. Aye, this is going to be a battle. Moises Caicedo's Chelsea.
I knew he'll be in there.
Yep. And then, okay, I'll do those three. And it's kind of going to be difficult because there's four midfielders against three midfielders. There is, and we'll do the front three. Okay, do you know what? I'll throw Morgan Rodgers in there as well because they got Morgan Rodgers 2026 as well. Right. Ooh. Coming in, Anita. I want to get involved. So let's do this. Riyad Mahrez is obviously the more technical player. So he'll probably go up against Morgan. Oh no, but Dele Alli's
there. I'll put Dele Alli up against Morgan Rodgers.
Would you? Yeah.
I would put him up against Morgan Rodgers.
I'll put Dele Alli with Rice.
Oh, I see why you'll do that.
Okay.
However, if we're gonna do like a 4-2-2-2, right? If we're gonna keep it that formation. Moises Caicedo, Declan Rice, they stay in this team.
N'Golo Kante.
Oh my God, get me out of here. Oh my God. Okay.
Let's think this through. N'Golo Kante 2016. He obviously ended up going to your club, but he is the epitome of what Moises Caicedo does. N'Golo Kante. So what are we doing?
But then it's kind of like, okay, does Declan Rice need to be in this team?
What are we doing here?
Don't do that.
Declan Rice is in.
Okay, you know what? Declan Rice is in.
Okay.
And for the sake of peace and for this to work,
yep,
I will put N'Golo Kante ahead of Moises Caicedo.
That makes sense. I'll do that. Okay. So then we've got
the
left.
Next two.
Riyad Mahrez, Dele Alli. And Dimitri Payet. Okay, so
Morgan Rodgers. We've
got to get through this.
This is difficult.
Morgan Rodgers. Okay, I'm gonna go. I would say, Morgan Rodgers has been amazing, but I'd say the 2016, either Dele Alli or Riyad Mahrez is over him.
Both of them are over him.
Yeah. Okay.
Are we sure? Let's think about it. Actually, there's nothing to think about. Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
I think Dele Alli in 2016, he was the thorn in my shoe.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand him because he was that incredible.
He's incredible.
He was great.
Dele Alli's in there. We've got N'Golo Kante in there. Cool, that's fine. Riyad Mahrez. We'll go Riyad Mahrez or Granit Xhaka. It should be, Riyad Mahrez.
And then,
I think, is that everyone?
He's got Dimitri Payet. Where does he fit in?
Yeah, where does he fit in? I mean, we'll put him up against Phil Foden.
This season, Phil Foden.
Oh, yeah.
And 2016 Payet. 2016 Payet. I can put him on a free kick, bet my house that he will score. Payet.
Payet's in there. Okay. And the last position,
Mm-hmm.
Harry Kane or Erling Haaland. 2016 Harry Kane.
Do you know
Kane.
I froze for a bit?
Actually, do you know what? No. Okay. I
froze for a bit. That's a difficult one because if I could pick any striker to be in my team, it'll either be Harry Kane or Erling Haaland. So I guess it depends on what I like. Do I want a striker that can link up, play very effortlessly with my cam, with Cole Palmer? Or would I want a striker that just bags
record breaker
every single time?
Yep, incredible. Having a great season so far.
And he bags with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Erling.
And that was the right answer. That's what I would have said
I'm
as well.
I'm going Erling. Are you serious on
FUBAR Radio? All right, time for Fantasy 11. My favourite section of the show. It's a bit of chaos. It's a bit random. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it the most. And you know what? You can actually gauge. If you're really listening to people's Fantasies 11, you can gauge their football understanding from the items they pick in this Fantasy 11. Let's see how deep people... Because some people really get into this. I really get into this. So I need to see where you're at in the Fantasy 11. And today's one is... It's all around supermarket items.
Oof.
Now, this is quite broad. There's a lot of things you can go to a supermarket and you pick up. So it'd be very interesting what you've got, Anita, and what I have. Maybe there'll be some comparisons. And maybe there might not be. Or there could be some things you may not even thought about at all, which is funny. I was trying to go through mine and go through. I was literally walking through the aisles in my head like, what do I need? What do I normally get? What do I get? How does this work? Do they fit in right back? Do they fit in left back? But let's get into this. Fantasy 11 with Anita. Let's do this. We're going to start. We're going to go player for player. And then right at the end, I need you to read out your full 11 and I'm going to read out my full 11. So let's start. We'll start in goal.
You know, I think this was pretty standard for me. I'm pretty straightforward. Reliable, good carbs, bread. You need it. Good carbs, bread. It was so easy. Don't have to do too much. Just stop my belly from rumbling.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Anita's gone beds. Sorry, not beds. Bread. But do you know why I said bed? Because my goalkeeper, bed sheets. Because clean sheets. You see how I'm thinking? You see how I'm thinking, people?
This is ridiculous.
Bed white sheets in goal.
I thought this was food items.
Nope.
What? Where are we shopping? Walmart?
Aldi middle aisle.
Oh my
Tesco's
goodness.
Upstairs.
Yeah?
Yep.
This is how we want to play it.
Bed sheets. I want clean sheets in goal.
No problem.
All right.
No problem.
I'm thinking. Thinking.
What?
Right. We're going to go right back.
Right. To be honest, my fullbacks are both oils. I've got vegetable oil on my right, olive oil on my left. Because, listen, the overlaps need to be smooth.
I don't mind.
They start the cooking off in the back line. They start it off every single time.
This is 3D
you
thinking.
Need to thank you. Think.
Starts the
every
cooking
time
from
you
the
wanna,
back.
Every time you're in transition. You want your fullbacks to get on that overlap every single time. They need to be quick, they need to be silky, and they need to be fast. Hey.
Oh, that's a bit, I'll be honest, that was a good one.
Thank you.
That one is...
Two types of oils. Olive oils on the left because left backs are ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, do you know what? Now you're thinking, because they're expensive, you're right. Fullbacks, they can be. And they're cooking from the
They're cooking from the back.
This is 3D thinking. See, now I'll be honest, I'm stalling because I'm trying to now change my work.
No, don't change it. Bed sheets.
My right back is oxtail. Okay, some of these supermarkets we have oxtail. I'm Jamaican. I see during timber as an ox. Oxtail made sense to me. So right back, I've got oxtail. Left back, I've got fish.
What supermarket is selling oxtail fish and bed sheets? And take me there. Take me there.
No, okay. Tesco's. We got the Tesco Extra. There's the international aisle. Thank you very much. There's oxtail there, I think. In the butchers, there's oxtail. Upstairs, like I said, I got bed sheets. And then fish. Yeah, man, fish. Okay, for my left back. I struggled on the fullbacks. Don't worry. I'm going to bring it back. Centre backs. Give me your centre back pairing.
Oh, do you know what? This was kind of easy for me. Your centre backs, they need to be able to hold the back line, yeah? They need to be strong, they need to be steady, and they have to be carbs. Rice and pasta, best combo. Rice and pasta, they're the strongest combo.
Mm.
Literally, you need them to go to the gym.
Mm.
You need them to go to the gym.
I don't mind that. Thank I don't
you.
Mind that.
That's rice literally and pasta. Gabriel and Saliba. Right but, there.
Because you said rice.
Oh, God almighty.
And it wasn't in the midfield. I'm questioning it. Because and now I'm questioning my own thoughts. Why didn't I put rice in the midfield? Anyway. But okay, it's fine. I'm doing my centre-back pairing. Very random. Left field. Fisherman friends. They are mints. They're very strong mints. Don't ask me why they came to mind. But strong, I don't know. Minty fresh. Anyway, that's my first centre back.
Okay.
Just run with me.
I'm running.
Second centre back. Beef.
Okay.
Strong. Beef.
Strong.
Yeah?
Strong.
Good. Beef.
I'm not too sure about that one, Chief.
Okay, well, I'm trying. As you can tell, this could be my weakest fantasy 11. But we move forward. In the midfield.
What are we doing? 4-3-3?
Yep. Give me your God. Three.
All right. Just roll with me here, okay?
Okay.
As my DM, okay, roll with me. It has to be someone that can break down play.
Right.
And also someone that can control the play as well. So salt. Do you get it?
Seasoning.
Do you get it?
Yep.
Seasoning.
Control.
It controls the dish.
Okay.
And it could also break down the particles of the dish. Get it?
Too much salt can get be it? A problem though.
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. That's the DM. Okay, so your DM. Okay, you're 8 and your 10 then.
Thank you. Oh, my 8 and my 10. Oh, this one was a little bit difficult for me. No, this one was a little bit difficult. I think your 8 always has to be spicy. Yeah. So Scotch bonnet.
Fair.
Scotch bonnet. Your fair. 8 always has to be spicy. Fair. It has to be everywhere and everyone has to fear it. So Scotch bonnet for my 8. And for my 10, I've gone plantain. Don't ask me why. Plantain.
Plantain.
Everyone, no, plantain.
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 Okay. I'm not going to.
This is that African, Jamaican discrepancy. Yep. Plantain.
Okay, fair.
Everyone likes plantain.
So that's your Cole Palmer?
That's my Cole Palmer. Okay. Everyone likes him.
I hear you. Let me run through my midfield three. In defensive midfield is a mop because he sweeps up. Standard, yeah? Come
Fez.
On. We're thinking 3D again. Number 8, Red Bull. Energy. Need him up and down.
Fez.
Energy. Yep, need energy there. My number 10. I don't like what I've put.
What did you put?
I put a magic box, but I was thinking like board games, magic, like a magic kit, but that's not good. So a board game, but even that, it's not good, but board game.
I feel like I shop at different supermarkets.
Nah, this Tesco Extra in my head is
Tesco
it's,
Extra,
it's
okay.
Massive. It's got everything, honestly.
It's got everything.
It's my savior every now and then, but obviously other supermarkets available. Big up Sainsbury's, big up Waitrose. If you want to sponsor the show, you just jump in and let us know. Come on. M&S.
Oh,
I'm a big fan of M&S.
Gosh.
Big fan of Waitrose. Big fan of Saints. I'm a big fan of all of them. Listen, I don't discriminate.
You just shop anywhere,
I shop
don't
anywhere.
You?
I've got the funds to shop where I need to shop. So, but if you want to sponsor us,
where's
happy
your
to.
Loyalty, mate? There's no loyalty there.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's all right.
Anita, give me your front three.
Right. I've gone for 2 proteins on my left and my right.
Oh,
yeah.
Why not speed? You want protein? So you
protein.
Want strong? Okay.
You need them to be strong, and you need. And for me, right, when you're going to the gym, eating protein is the most important part, right? You gotta have the protein to build up the results.
Yep.
Right.
Yep,
so
yep.
I've gone chicken on my right wing, and on my left wing, I've gone for fish and probably a salmon because again, I like my wing is expensive. You know what I mean?
Okay. So when I said fish for fullback, that's not that crazy then.
Wasn't that crazy.
Okay. So I thought.
But I was just confused where I can buy bed sheets and fish. That was just me. that was just
we'll
me.
We'll leave that to the judge to decide who wins at the end. Striker.
Oh, you see, this one was so difficult for
tough.
Me. I couldn't think of a striker, so I've gone with Haaland.
What, you can buy Haaland? What, just
if it? I could, I would. I couldn't think of a striker. I've just gone with Haaland.
Well, you must be rich because to walk into a supermarket and pay a couple hundreds or 100 million, say, for a striker, that's for you.
Right here in my pocket, didn't you know? Come on, man.
Okay. Well, just on that, judge, put that into consideration. I know. It's not. Yeah.
Well, don't swindle the judge.
No, I'm just because we got to listen.
The judge is a
Man
City fan as well.
We take this very serious.
FYI,
we take this very serious. Watch this one. Here we go. My front three, right wing, Chilis, little Chili, Saka. All right. Don't play with me, Chilis. Spicy can bun you up every time.
Saka ain't been spicy this season.
Hey. No Saka slander on this show.
I'm just wondering where these Chilis are from.
Hey. My little Chili. Left wing. I've gone flowers because they can flourish. They can blossom. They can bloom. They can be creative. They can give them their flowers. Left wing. Yeah? Just run with me. Work with me. Because
Do you even like any of your left wingers?
Right now?
Give one of them your flowers. Go on.
Trossard. He's been our most consistent attacker this season so far.
Attacker.
And then, lastly, up front, drum roll please. I've gone bag for life because he's a bags man. Yep, I just thrown off my headphones. I've stood up myself. Anita's joined me.
That bag one banged. That one banged. That one. Shake my hand. Yep.
Thank you very much. See, we're thinking 3D, 4D. I've gone to a different level.
We're playing chess and I was playing checkers.
There we go. We're going to run through our 11s. I'm going to start and I'm going to give you a small explanation of why I've got them in goal. In goal, bed sheets. It's clean. Clean sheets. Makes sense. Right back, Oxel. You're in timber. He's an ox. Makes sense. Fish, left back. Don't ask me why, but it's there. It can swim up and down the wing. Well, it's dead. But anyway, we'll carry on. Centre back pairings. Fisherman friends. Old school. Mince. Old school. Classic. Rugged. Firm. Strong. Very hot.
Mince.
Yeah, mince. Fisherman friends. You know about them. Centre back. The second centre back pairing is beef. Because I want them to just beef everyone and be strong. DM, I've got a mop to sweep up everything. Number 8, Red Bull, energy, run up and down the wing. Obviously, that gives you wings as well. If he needs to fly, he can fly. number 10, a magic box. In the supermarkets I go to, there's like games and that. Sometimes there's a magic box there, you know, for the kids, them. Hold tight. Right wing, Chilis, little Chilis. Bukayo Saka, come on, makes sense. On fire. Bun you up every time. Striker, no. Left wing, Flowers. Let's drop the ball a little bit here, but Flowers, give him the flowers, flourish, can blossom, can bloom. All right, to confuse you all. And then up top, the winner here is a bag for life, yeah, because he bags goals, bags, man. Anita, your turn, run through your 11.
You know what, I'm still a little bit like, should I change mine?
No, we can't change. Go, run. Okay. Talk to us.
I'm a little bit embarrassed now. That bags for life one was really good. But in goal, I've got bread. Because that's what you can buy in a supermarket, unlike bed sheets. I'm not too sure what supermarkets you are going to, but hey, if you want to buy your bed sheets from a supermarket, that's between you and God. Bread, carbs, is strong, it's powerful. Same with my centre-back partnership. Pasta and rice, they are necessities, they are strong, and they are powerful.
Thank you.
My full-backs, right-back. Right-back, we've got vegetable oil. Left-back, we've got olive oil. Your left-backs are always, always, always the most expensive part of your squad, always. Cucurella costs like, what, 68 million? But they are the most important pieces to your puzzle when it comes to the build-up play. And when you can't cook without oil, you got to cook from the back. There you go. In the middle, we have got, as a DM, salt. Listen, if you're into science, you need a scientific explanation. Salt breaks things down. And salt also makes the dish that much better. So it has to be the DM. And then you've got the Scotch bonnet, number 8, because they got to be spicy. If they're not spicy, there's no point. You have to be scared of them. You don't want to eat your number 8. You don't want to eat them. Do you know what I mean? Thank you. Chefing it up, man. Nice. Chefing it up. And as I can, plantain. Tain, not tin. Plantain. Mm. Yeah. Everybody just likes plantain. Everybody likes plantain. It's a Cole Palmer. It's whoever you want it to be. It's your favorite player in that team. Right wing, left wing, I've got chicken and I've got fish. Every single time you need a protein. You need a protein to make a good meal, and that's what your wingers need to be. And as a striker, if I've got a few million left in my pocket, I'll get Haaland.
I've just had it in my ear that Bags for Life has taken it.
I know, and
Cecil has won the Fantasy 11. Thank you very much, people. Yes. I'll take it. Anita, it's been a pleasure, but thank you so much for giving us your 11 and trying to compete with. I think I'm a very good champion of Fantasy 11. I know people listen will probably want to get involved once, and maybe, I know you guys do it along with me, but yes, there's one day, hopefully get you in a studio and see if you can beat the champion of the Fantasy 11. That's myself, Cecil G, the host of FUBAR. VR, are you serious on FUBAR Radio? Now, firstly, thank you so much, Anita, for joining us on today's show. You've been incredible.
For having me.
I can't wish your team luck because,
I don't like Chelsea.
But okay. I've enjoyed your company. I've enjoyed given us today and given us your stories as a fan, as a Chelsea fan, and how you got into the industry and all that. We really appreciate you coming down. So thank you very much. And thank you all that listened to today's show here on FUBAR Radio. It's VR, are you serious with myself, Cecil G, and we'll see you again very soon. Take care. Love.
This is The Different Football Show. VAR, you serious? On FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.